3, 2, 1. I love the way you wear your headphones down below your chin. I forgot that big hat. You need the ears in.
Earbuds. I forget. They don't stay in.
Good morning. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Tom. Good to see you, bro.
Kiefer Sunborn back in the studio.
Thank you.
I just did another podcast, and I was sharing the story of when I had you and your son on. How's your son doing?
He and his older brother are coming back from Portland this Friday. They've been in Portland. Asterion has been in Portland since September. He didn't come back for vacation, but Joshen did come back from vacation for winter break.
Do you think we can get him on the podcast when he's back?
Would you be down with that?
Of course. Dude, that was one of my favorite podcasts, and I was just sharing in another podcast that I've been doing called I'm Sorry About Last Night, that day, you know, and... You know, where I had you and your son on, and he had this laptop, and he's playing samples, and he's kind of freestyling, and you're playing bass.
Right.
And he kept looking over at you going, fuck, man, my dad's laying down a fucking serious track. And you kept looking over at him going, look at him, freestyling. Wow. It was just like, it was cool to be, you know, to share that with you guys.
Wow. Yes, that was an awesome moment for us, and I'm stoked for them to come back because my... we're getting a new machine this week, but music is definitely going to be waiting to come out of us. We're all ready to do some cool music.
Well, I want to have you on this podcast, and I want to. I have this guy Devin who's doing a podcast called "Putting on the Riff." No, what's my riff or something like that? But it's another music based podcast, and you guys would be great to go on his podcast.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He's like, you know, we wanted to do that Delaware Live Music podcast, and everything didn't line up.
Okay.
Not that anybody had a problem or someone fell short. It just was a tough geographically, and then COVID-19 coming in, just hard to get started. So that podcast is still out there, but Putting on the Riff, or I think you Get My Riff. I think that's what it's called. Get My Riff. This guy Devin is super excited. He's already done one. He's going to do another one today. He's really into this live music scene. So
okay. Awesome.
He loves music, and you guys would be great.
Okay, awesome. So, look, yeah, set it up.
I'll make it happen.
Nice. Just like you do.
Just like I do. So, you reached out like you usually do, you know, once every couple of weeks. What's up? You know? And I know we're both busy, but we were able to try to, you know, you said all the shit that's been going on. It'd be great to sit down and have a conversation. I agree.
100%, man. Here we are. It's June 2020. And it's summertime, but it doesn't feel like summertime down here.
No.
Like, this is the first summer that has been, well, that I've experienced like this ever. And I think everyone would say the same.
Yeah. But that's more COVID.
COVID?
COVID-19. I mean, just all the drama with this thing, you know, this weird thing that we're dealing with.
COVID, it was COVID. Now it's race relations on top of COVID. And someone was saying yesterday how we went from COVID. Now it's this race situation or this racial tension that we're dealing with. And could that be some sort of, I don't know, a false flag or some sort of intentional deterrent from COVID? You know what I mean? To, okay, here's another.
Conspiracy? Or
definitely.
I think, listen, that's you know, that is very possible. I've thought about that. I've watched a lot of stuff kind of, you know, these agent provocateurs that are kind of showing up, wrecking these peaceful protests, kind of changing, you know. And you know, the funny thing is, and bear with us because we're going to just bounce all around.
But nice, of course.
You and I had talked about race prior to all this. You know,
I think in one of our first conversations.
Yeah, because, you know, you're a black guy.
Right.
And
person of color.
So good. Thank you. Is that what we call, is that what we say now?
I think that it falls because all people of color seem to be the ones who get the short end of the stick.
Right.
So, you know, instead of saying.
You look like you don't even know what to say.
Well, it's kind of crazy because what? Colored people, black, Negro, whatever, African American. Person of color, people of color, feels right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, and you and I had talked, and I said, how come it is that when I say my buddy, Kiefer Sunborn, my black friend, You know, like, is it important that I acknowledge that? Why can't you just be Kiefer Sundborn, my friend?
So who's putting that on you? You feel like
me? Okay, I'm putting it on me. I'm absolutely, you know, because I want to be respectful, but at the same time, I want. See, I'm the problem is I live in this small little town. I didn't grow up. I've never grown up racist. I didn't, you know, it wasn't part of our family. My dad was military. You know, we grew up on the base. We had a mix of everybody, Spanish, Mexican, people of color,
right?
You know, whatever. It was never a thing,
right?
I didn't start experiencing that kind of thing until really moving to the East Coast.
Okay.
And, you know, and I told you this before, you know, I've never considered myself racist or...
What is racist?
Well, I would think racist would be somebody that might change their opinion because of somebody's color.
So, right, I think that, yeah, that's what came up to me, like you being racist. I wouldn't... So you're thinking to yourself right now that... I could be racist? Like,
well, so, you know, like I said before, like, I've never considered myself racist, but at the same time, watching all this that has gone on, I feel like I might slightly be a little bit racist because I haven't been paying attention to some of the like, so for instance, there's a lady and a lady's car got hit here in the parking lot. And you told me because you pulled up and at the same time, a state police officer's pulled up. And you were like, because you had checked another building to see if I was over there, and you automatically felt like this cop was here because you were wandering around.
Or something like that.
And before I would have been like, oh, my God, that's silly. But the reality is that that's a reality.
That's a reality.
And I haven't paid attention to that.
But so I don't think that would make you racist. You could be unaware of what... A lot of other, maybe some people that you might know, or just the other person. You don't know what they've gone through or what they go through unless we inquire, engage in conversation. I'm feeling right now what we need to do and what's kind of happening is this big, huge dialogue is what we need to have between all people and really start spitting facts and real what we really feel.
Well, and the other thing is that I didn't feel like this was an issue prior to this. You know, you and I would just get together and chat and hug it out and listen to music and enjoy family and enjoy one another. It really wasn't about color.
Right.
And now it is.
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
That happened. So what happened for me, if I can be honest, after George Floyd, 46-year-old like myself, somehow when the whole world was, you know, I remember seeing Germany, and I was like, wait, how is Germany speaking up about this? You know what I mean? People in Germany.
They have people of color.
But I just didn't think that. It was more than, I saw more non-people of color in these gatherings. So so how does that work? What were we saying?
Well, I think that even like a person like you may not even be quite woke, you know, and that's the new term, woke, aware.
So I remember, thank you. So what happened for me over the past couple of weeks was like, wait a minute, stuff is really messed up. And I've been just going, I was like kind of sleeping. I was sleeping and waking up to the idea like, wow, there really are people out here who really feel this way. And I've known that, but it's just now it's really showing itself. It's making, we all have to deal with it. Right. All the human beings, on planet Earth are seeing this racial tension and that it has to go. So it's no longer serving us. It never served us, but it's got to go.
It's got to go.
For us to evolve.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of facets to it. You know, like for me, I don't find myself racist. Prior to this, I'd be like, I don't know what the hell's going on. What are they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. You know, is this about a cop?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because really this is about, in the beginning, this was about a cop behaving badly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Killed that guy.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt that was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get past that, I'm like, okay, I get that. But then it's just like that. You coming up here and feeling like there's a state cop here, and you are already a little concerned.
I'm already, anxiety pops up.
You have
up.
Anxiety.
Right.
But I don't realize that. I don't pay attention to that because it doesn't affect me. So I'm like, I'm not racist. But the fact is that is something that you go through and a lot of other people go through. I did want to share, and I've shared this before, that, you know, like I said to you, I always say, first thing I go, have I done anything wrong? and you, you know, if we're standing side by side, we both say, look at the cop and we go, have we done anything wrong? I say, nope, I'm not worried about it. You say, nope, but that don't matter. Right? But I don't realize that. So that is the issue. And I think that it's going to take a lot of different things to really start to address this. The policing is definitely an issue. And I wanted to share...
Always has been.
But, you know, when I'll share the story. It's not taking away from the importance of the subject, but I will share, you know, this time when I got arrested. I was drunk. A guy had hit my car. I was justified to call the cops. I wanted action. I had been a victim of some idiot. Mm-hmm. But the reality was it was in a private parking lot. I was drunk out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And when the cops decided to tell me that they couldn't do anything about it in a very nice way, I went off. Because I was drunk. Mm-hmm. I was arrogant. Mm-hmm. Rules didn't apply. Mm-hmm. They locked me up. They arrested me. And then when I arrived to the San Diego jail, they beat me. Because I was a loudmouth and I was calling them all these names. They beat me. They called ahead, in fact. So that when I arrived, there was a waiting party or a welcoming committee.
We've got someone who's belligerent here.
I was belligerent.
Right.
And I said, I've always said, even up to just recently, I've always thought I deserved that.
Wow.
Because I was an asshole.
Okay.
But when I look at it, when I look at it the way life is today and the shit that people are going through, I didn't deserve it.
Okay.
It's because they're professionals. This is their professional job. They know better.
Okay.
They deal with me. They deal with people like me. That's like if someone comes in and gives me attitude, I'm just going to fuck up their hair.
Right.
Right? Fuck it. You're an asshole. I fucked up your hair.
Snip.
Right. So it didn't... I've always considered it a casualty of war, just part of the game. You know, when you're running the streets and running your mouth and doing that kind of stuff, that's the kind of shit that's going to happen.
Okay.
Now, I can tell you the day I got sober, I stopped having run-ins with the cops.
Right.
So the point of the story is that sometimes, for me at least, in my situation dealing with that kind of stuff, the punishment fit the crime.
Okay.
Because I had been doing things.
Okay. You were being a jerk.
I was being a jerk.
Okay.
I don't know what it's like to live a life walking the straight and narrow and still having to deal with cops.
Okay.
And I think that that's really what the big difference is.
It's... So I hear you, and I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I think sometimes maybe you have your people in the inner city, colored people in inner city, who are dealing with the cops. It's a totally different situation, or the situations vary when you have the people, it's right, systemic racism. So you have people who are struggling, fighting to survive. You know, struggling to survive, to make it through the day. And if they have their little bit of herb, or they're just, everyone's just trying to make it. Everyone's just trying to make it. So what am I saying here?
Well, and that's another thing is that, you know, sometimes crime is a business. And there are people that, you know, are easily targeted, unfortunately. And I feel like that's another thing. I mean, to me, a lot of this is from the war on drugs, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like legalize drugs, stop having to deal with people, you know, because I, you know, and they took it off the air, but I loved watching live PD.
Really?
But I was uncomfortable with it because it seemed like they targeted a lot of African-American people, and it was over like little specks of weed and open 40s, you know? It's like, oh. We're not going to arrest you, but we're going to give you a $500 ticket. You know, it's like crime is business.
I'm trying to, you know, get my thoughts together and bring it out because there's so much around it. And my first thought was my research on the cops or police. They came into being after the slaves were freed,
right?
To basically go after the slaves.
Well, what they would do, there was a...
You're familiar with it.
Yeah, they would... So when the people became free, then they would arrest them on petty shit and then make them work on the chain gang until their fine was paid off, and it was a no-end situation. So it was basically slavery.
It's right. That's right, exactly. Slavery after you're supposedly free. And again, you know, for all the listeners who are here and I'm trying to get my thoughts together, we have so much dialogue going on, but I think we really need to just get to the root, like, you know, the let's reduce it to its purest form. And we're dealing with inequality with human beings.
Right.
And that's where we need to, that's where the conversations need to start. And that's where the systems need to start implementing the new curriculums or the new forums, the new whatever, you know, the new patterns that we have for human beings on planet Earth. Like we, it just.
Well, and that doesn't, and that doesn't, and color doesn't even really matter in that.
It's there's a woman, Jane Elliott, who I've heard about her like some years ago. She's a white educator, and she says that racism is a mental illness. And it really is, because if you are, we're all human beings on planet Earth. And to be at odds against someone because of their color or just because you don't know them sounds like a mental illness.
Well, part of me feels like a lot of people just need to die off.
You think it's like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, you know, my
evolution.
Dad, well, you know, it's like, you know, my dad's 82.
Okay.
You know, he grew up just on the edge. You know, I think they had a black school or a white school when he grew up in the little town. And you know, he you know, because we've had, I think everybody in America and in the world right now is having this conversation.
Sure.
And, you know, he's like, one of my best friends was a guy of color.
Okay.
And so, but prior to him, you know, it was a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say it's like all of a sudden saying, all of a sudden now we're going to start eating cat.
Okay.
I mean, you'd be like, fuck, I ain't no cat. It's the new thing.
Right.
I'm like, fine. And my generation, we'd struggle with eating the cat.
Right.
But the new people would be like, I love this cat. It's
right.
So good.
Right.
Why didn't we do this before? Right. Why did we waste all this time on not eating cat? Me and you'd be like, I don't like cat.
Right.
But I'll eat it. Until we die off, that shift
right.
is still there.
Right.
And, you know, my kids don't know anything about this stuff. My kids don't care about color.
Likewise with mine.
And, you know, it's just the old guard has to just, unfortunately, just die off.
That's where we're at.
And I feel like it's almost hard to change us, like 50-year-old people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of doing what we're doing. We've seen it all. We've become cynical. We're, you know, we're grateful in some things and cynical in the other. And we know, oh, yeah, yeah. But it's about teaching our kids, really, the youth. You know, maybe that's, I feel like that's where the change is. And
right.
it's the young people. Like, listen, forget about us. We're all fucking crazy.
Right.
But you guys have a real opportunity to have an amazing experience.
They already know, in my opinion.
They do.
They already know.
They absolutely, they're not even, they like cat.
Right.
But it's, I have a question. How come, do you think we should get rid of calling people white?
You would have to ask your white brother, the Caucasian race. I that's a good question. I don't know.
Because
what do you guys want?
If we put our arms together, brother, I'm about one shade lighter than you.
Right.
In fact, right there on your arm, you might be a little lighter
right.
than me.
So
why do we have to call, why are we white? Because we're not.
So who implemented
I'm
that?
I'm working on being as far white as I can. I want to be a golden brown, honestly.
So that's a good point. Who pointed that out? Who said that we're black, white, and well, that's what it is basically. It's
the 100-year-olds,
right?
The 100-year-old said it.
To what you were saying, I just met this person in my neighborhood this morning, 82-year-old man. His name was Jack. He said that he remembers when he came into the area back in the 60s, where Lewis Beach was segregated.
Yeah,
and he I questioned him. He was like, and I was taken aback at that time, and I said it, and I questioned him. I was like, wait, you at in the 60s, it was a shock to you? It was disturbing to you? And he was like, yes. So, not everyone, you know, not everyone is racist. We have a lot of humans on planet Earth, and that human mentality of I don't care what you look like. It just doesn't matter. And you're a human being. I'm a human being. And that is the enlightened kindergarten level of being a human being, to recognize each other for what we are, dogs don't, you know, there's an analogy of like a bunch of golden retrievers and Rottweilers or whatever, all different breeds are together. They are hanging out. They don't pick and choose.
Right.
Right. They're like, oh, cool. Let me, oh, you're cool. I'm gonna hang out with you. And we'll play together and play ball or whatever. But it really is a mental illness. It's something missing. There's something missing.
Yeah, well, there's absolutely something missing. I don't know what it is. I think that's, you know, just the fact is, you know, I don't feel like I'm a racist guy, but I feel like I've turned my eye to some of the behavior that goes on for people of color. And it's unfortunate. And I've, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I hope out of all this we start to move. I don't, you know, I was telling this to somebody. I go, I don't know if I woke up today what I could do any different. You know,
actually, I had. So, yes, there's so much to discuss. So I have done some, as a person of color, I have done some study, some research, and listening to my intuition. So the scripture says, a teaching says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but of spiritual wickedness in high places. It's actually out of our hands. And I think that human beings have to, you've already picked what side you're going to be on, but you now have to stand firm in which side you're on. And it's either good or evil, in my opinion. Those are the two sides.
Well, I agree.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of people that use it as an excuse.
That what?
You know, maybe they don't do as well because of this, or they don't, you know, they can't get here because of this.
And meaning, who would say that maybe?
Black and white.
Okay, so I mean, I feel like I have said that, and that discussion has been coming up for me this past couple weeks. And my experience shows me it is in my... My grandmother said, don't go to jail and graduate from high school and you're good. That was the tier. Lay low because this is the climate that we live in. Don't draw attention to yourself. And so a lot of people of color, you have people of color who, right, where are the fathers? Where are the families? You need a family to develop in a healthy way, but that's the way that it was intended. If you look in the animal kingdom, a lot of the animals, you know, you have the groupings, you have the families, and that's what's missing for a lot of human beings on the planet, but for people of color especially. We haven't gotten. It's so interesting, man. Like I went to affluent white school, and I was seeing 16-year-olds at getting BMWs and these awesome cars for their first vehicle. And, you know, they have, you know, their families and mom and dad, siblings, what have you. And that gives you, like, a confidence and a boost. That gives you, you feel good about yourself. But if you don't have those things, you can't feel that good about yourself. If that, right? That sounds kind of simple, but that's how it is.
That's how it is.
Okay. You just.
I almost feel like those kids that get that shit, it's a kiss of death.
Oh, it's you. They become right. It's.
I always tell my kids, "Are you happy?" "Yes." "Well, I'm doing a shitty job."
So,
because I mean, are we building characters or are we building character?
Tom, again, having this discussion, it's bringing me to the truth of what really is going on here. And again, it's equality. Brown people, people of color, the family has been broken. The families, so many families are broken. There's a joke, right? There's like, where's your dad? You know what I mean? For like people of color, where's your dad?
Do you think hashtag Fathers Matter would have been a good deal?
Fathers matter. Families matter. Families matter.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, man.
I mean, especially just coming out of, and by the way, happy Father's Day.
Right.
I mean,
what a
gift.
I feel like every day's Father's Day.
I just said that.
Did you? That's,
just saying that.
That's what it is.
I love being a father.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, you know, and you mentioned the animal kingdom. I mean, if we lived like the animals, mm-hmm. we'd probably all be considered racist because, you know, if a lion, you know, if a lion has a family, a pride, mm-hmm. and then a new lion comes in and takes over.
Challenges, right?
Challenges him right. and forces him out.
Right.
What's the first thing the new lion does?
Right. Making babies.
He fucking kills off his.
How crazy is that?
Eats them, kills them, gets
right.
rid of them.
Right.
And then starts fresh.
Right.
I mean, that today would be very controversial.
And but I feel like I hear that. I almost would say that we couldn't even go there.
No, of course. I'm just right. saying. The point of it is it's very extreme in the animal world.
Right, 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 right.
I mean,
right.
I'm not suggesting Nature. We do that.
Right, right, right.
Because I have two ex-wives, and I okay. don't feel like eating my first one. But I'm just, you know. Sometimes, you know, comparing ourselves to nature, we look pretty soft.
We are soft, and I think we're out of tune with nature because the breakdown of the family, it's right, is a cliche that why can't we all get along, but I really believe that's how it's supposed to be.
I think we do.
Okay.
I mean, I know there's people out there that have issues, of course, but as far as me, I will hold the door. You know, it's crazy. That's the difference, though, is that, like, I can say, you know, there was a point in my life where I was running the streets. No, whatever color I was a pain in the ass.
Right.
Selling drugs, right. drinking and driving,
okay.
chasing women, just a total loser.
Okay.
And at some point I said, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
And I want to make my life better.
Right.
The difference is that a person of color can make the same choice
right.
and still be held back
right.
by society.
Right.
And that is the issue. That's, we should all be able to say, listen, yeah, I've been behaving badly. I've been doing my drinking or smoking or whatever. I'm done with it. I want to start to be better.
Right.
We should all have that opportunity to make that change and nothing hold us back. And I think that's where the issue is.
I agree 100%. How do we get there? Well, again, it's like, it's.
Well, I think how we get there really, and this all started why? Because a cop put his knee on a black guy and killed him. And that was the boiling point. That's where the pot boiled over. So I was reading an article about it over in New Mexico where they're talking about having splitting up kind of like the police force. Like if someone's been murdered, or if someone's armed robbery, you know, an officer equipped with his gear and his militarized look, maybe he shows up. But if you got a drunk driver, if you have, you know, whatever else, like the social police show up. And I made that up. But that's, you know, khakis, a button up. Hey, what's up, man?
Right.
You know, you drank too much.
Right.
Let's pull your car over. Let's park it. Let's give you a ride home.
Right.
Let's start handling some of this stuff a little differently than fucking putting our knees on people.
What if we were able to take care of each other? If someone saw you in that state, having love for your brother man or for your fellow man, hey, instead of like, oh, I'm just going to leave him to his, you know, to whatever it is that he's doing. Hey, I see that you're in a situation. How can I help you? How can I help you? Like I am. That's how I am when I'm out. If I see someone, I'll pick up a hitchhiker. If someone's has a flat tire, I'll check and see. Hey, are you okay? Like I'm checking out for people.
What now, if you come across somebody swerving around in the lane?
If that's a good question. I don't know what I would do.
Call 911. I'm behind a drunk driver. I'm behind a drunk driver, you know, like, let's help out. That's what people do. They call the cops on the drunk drivers.
That's kind of tough.
It's a tough one.
Because drinking is so destructive, you know, and like you said, you were being a jerk. and
I deserved it.
Right, you know what I mean? So, like, in some situations, yeah, I think you might have to bring in the big dogs, but I do like your idea of, okay, this is a situation where we don't have to bring the cuffs and we don't have to have all of our gear for this.
Well, just like just now. So this young girl bumped into this lady's car in the parking lot here in front of the studio. Apparently, the girl will not give her information to the owner of the car, so the owner of the car called the police. State trooper rolls in his freaking SUV. Looks good. I mean, it's a good-looking ride.
Right.
Right? Comes out. He's, you know, an all military kind
starched,
of... Starched and pressed. We're freaking out, you know. And let me tell you a quick story. Maybe the social police could have showed up today in a kind of a...
Or what if there was
a Camry, a Toyota Camry?
What if there was something here in this vicinity where it's like we have people on call, and maybe there's an app or something like that, and so there's like probably let's say 20 people around here that may have been in the service and their credentials have it so that they are good with people and that they could potentially de-escalate different scenarios.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be. I've always thought that. Why don't we like put a little police house in every neighborhood?
Right.
You know, instead and maybe two cops shift, and then what? You know, the one kind of just kind of patrols. You know, knows everybody. What's up? You know, and if there's a problem, call Officer Bill.
Right.
Down at the corner.
Right.
You know, here comes Officer Bill in his khakis and his button up. What's going on? You know, why does it have to be such an intimidating situation?
Right. I think sometimes I can see how we could use that person in, you know, for certain situations, you know, maybe bar fights or something like that. But to your, you know, Officer Bill, I like the idea of having, you know, Jason or Jack or
Jackson
or Jackson, right?
Greg
or whatever in the neighborhood.
Kifa.
Right.
Officer Kifa.
Right. Yo, like, what's going
Officer
on?
Officer Sunborn, come on down.
Let's. Yeah, right. Bob Marley's. Hey,
dude, that might be your calling.
Oh, my gosh. I'd rather gab.
Officer Kifa, he hit my car. Calm down, everybody. Let's get spiritual on this. What's positives?
But a lot of people in the black community have already talked about something like that. You know, you have these white cops, and I'm just saying this because, you know, for discussion or whatever, you have these white cops going into these neighborhoods and they don't even know the people. Mm-hmm. So you're disconnected.
Well, probably, and this is the other facet that's kind of strange, is that a lot of these cops go into these neighborhoods and they do know these people.
Okay.
You know, I saw somebody that said that, you know, a lot of the times these people are, regardless of color, they're doing the crime.
They're doing crime.
And it's unfortunate, you know, if you're down in certain parts of the country, you're going to have definitely a higher level of colored folks than white folks. If you have a giant population of colored folks, probably less lighter color in that population. So you do know, I mean, I can tell you when I lived in San Diego, we knew the cops. Okay. The cops knew us.
Okay.
Be like, oh, I heard so-and-so's on tonight, you know. Stay in.
Oh, right, 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 so right.
They
right,
do
right.
know.
Right, 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 right.
If they're working, and I think that's probably has been some sort of attempt to try to connect the cops with the communities. It's just tough.
I think the key word and how I would probably try to flow in a discussion would be connect.
Yeah.
We need to connect. And I think right now, podcasts, being able to create meaningful dialogue and real dialogue to open eyes is, that's what this time is right now. I really feel that's what needs to happen right now.
I agree.
Okay.
I think that also we also see, you know, if we have one bad apple, we tend to think that the whole bushel is bad. And it's I think it's just the stance, the look, the position of certain cops coming in. Like, I do think that may be a solution. You know, I hate to be the guy that fixed everything, but it could happen.
Say it and repeat
social
that again.
Cops, social police.
Social police, okay.
The social police.
Just, yeah.
You know, handling social community problems.
Yeah. I like that. And, yeah, that's...
I mean, you could be the face of it.
I think that we can talk more about that, but I think you're on to something. I want to see.
Well, in New Mexico, I saw New Mexico was doing this, so I'm not.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not. I stole the idea.
Okay. So, but it's in effect. They're
trying it. Okay. Yeah.
That's a beautiful. I think that's great.
And Albuquerque has a lot of crime.
Really?
Oh,
I wouldn't think so.
Bad. Homeless. Okay. A lot of crime. A lot of gangs. A lot of shootings.
There's so much to, I think, right, we have this bleeding artery. We have all this, you know, this huge gash wound that's open. And, you know, we're talking about human beings or people of all, like the Americans, let's just like connect and learn each other. I was thinking that, and maybe, you know what, if you don't want to change your mind, that's okay. Like you can be by yourself or do what you need to do with your crew or your whatever, your family. But, and why am I saying that? Because I don't think if you shouldn't be forced to. But if you see the truth and the facts, how could you not want to connect, right? Mm-hmm. I saw this clip last night where this neo-Nazi skinhead, he got in the system incarcerated. His parole officer or whatever was a black woman, and he says that she saved his life, and he calls her family. And it was really moving to see, right, this person who was super hate and hugging up on this black woman, and like, she saved my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That like made me feel good.
That's awesome.
So what does that speak to? That I believe Jane Elliott, that it is a mental illness and
racism.
Yes. And that we could, with the right dialogue, even if you just check history of US history and look at it right from like the kindergarten mind, you can see that, wow, those people had it, the Native Americans, oh my gosh, the people of color.
It's a whole nother podcast.
And a lot of times people bring up, I don't know the whole history of the Irish and some of the other immigrants that came here. I just know that the natives and the people of color it's not even had it bad, they were tortured. You disrespected in them and humiliated, disrespected in the worst way.
Well, for me, it's always, you know, I've never considered myself racist. It's really the thing, like I mentioned in the beginning, it's turning, not paying attention, not being aware of the life of that you and I, the different lives that you and I live, mm-hmm. and it just right here in this parking lot,
right.
This 200 yards of asphalt, and how you and I, neither one of us had done nothing, but how your life was affected completely different right. than mine. I was at one end zone and you were at the other, and the cop was on the 50-yard line, and your world was a whole different world than mine over here at this other end, and neither one of us had done anything.
As soon as he pulled in.
But I don't know that. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize that. I guess I realized it, but I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't give it the respect that I think it deserves. And that's where I feel like I personally, just in my journey, have fallen short. I don't know what I can do to change it.
I don't think you fell short. I think it's like a process. You're waking up,
and I'm woke.
Like, and it's just like, well, this wasn't affecting me, and so why would you think about it? Am I thinking about like what's how many things are going on right now that I'm not thinking about that are crazy? Like what? What are some of the statistics of I don't know, someone committing suicide? Someone's doing crack right now. Someone's like hiring hookers. Someone's like plotting a murder. Like, you know what I mean? All this craziness is like,
but you also know there's somebody that's out there becoming successful and creates the same fear and anxiety. You know, we love to say smoking crack, stealing, you know, but you know, do a good job. And that can throw someone, you know, I always say, tell me I did a good job and I want to be the fucking president of the company. Tell me I did a bad job and I want to fucking jump off the bridge.
Exactly.
So, you know, we also have to start realizing, if we're going to wake and be woke, we also have to start realizing that there's a lot of stress and anxiety that comes from success.
Right. Okay.
And doing well and doing better. You know, I remember the first time I started doing better. I'm like, when's it going to fail? When's it going to stop?
Wow. Right.
You know, when am I going to fuck up?
Right.
You know?
And if I can just add on, so sure. To what my grandmother told me, is she was like, it was like a low aspiration. Like, don't reach.
I was going to say that.
Don't reach. Oh, that's what it was. Just
high school.
It's just like, no, stay chill. Stay like, don't, but it was like, but that's what was put out on us for so that we could survive.
Dude, you know my buddy Matt used to tell me, you think that was low. Here's what he used to say.
What?
As long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out. That was his line.
That's right. That's I'm like,
and you know what? I'm like, I can do that.
That's, I think I can do that.
I didn't even have to finish high school.
Right. I've got that benchmark.
Right.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Well, but you know what? Sometimes I need it that way. You know, I need to be, you know, I need it to be simple like that. Oh, right. I am not smoking crack.
Right.
And I'm not paying for hookers. Right. And I do have a chance.
Right.
I think that is the big difference between you and I is that I think I always have a chance and you have the fear of not having a chance because of color.
Wow.
And that, I think, we need to change so that you feel like you can do anything you want no matter what color you are.
It's I would almost say that it's having that belief and, again, not being, again, with systemic racism, not having the support, not being able to get a loan, not being able to,
Have you ever had that happen? You couldn't get a loan because of your color?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know if it was about my color, but...
I mean, was your credit good?
My credit was good, and I tried to get some sort of low loan. I think it was maybe like $5,000 or something like that, and it didn't happen. This was in 2016 when I was leaving...
Can I tell you that I've been denied hundreds of loans? I tried to open my salon. I got denied by every bank in this town.
From what about you? So how was your credit?
Great.
Okay. And they just, but I think like, so for you, in my mind, it's just like.
I wasn't a guarantee.
Not even a guarantee, but they're just like looking. Yeah, right. That's how I feel like they would see me. You know what I mean?
Right. But I mean, do you think that, you know, if we're going to make changes, do we think that we have to make changes inside of ourselves too? Like lighten up a little, maybe like, maybe it didn't work out. Because I've thought, you know, sometimes I think everybody, if we want to get better, then we need to tell everybody that that's what we're going to try to do. Like instead of like, yeah, I want to get better, but I still like kind of keeping a foot in, you know, the negative, like, oh, well, that's because of this, you know, instead of like, fuck that.
So
let's all get better. I need to get better.
Okay. I think so for me, and again, having these types of conversation for someone who, again, if you had a family and or if you had a strong mother or a mother that was like giving you guidance or someone in your family giving you guidance, you might err to the side of like, oh, okay, well, there's hope. You know what I mean? Like I can, you have the history of seeing the breadcrumb, but what if you haven't, what if it's been like the breadcrumbs have always been pushed away? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I feel like in my experience, that's kind of what's happened. It's almost like, you, not only when you're talking about your success, it's like I'm waiting for something to the bubble to pop or whatever. For me, it was like there is no balloon or something like that. It's like I'm watching everyone in their success and everyone doing their stuff, and I'm just like, you're on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's tough. I am. I'm on board with you.
Okay.
Whatever we're doing, I'm with you. Charge!
I hope that that was making sense. I keep trying to bring it back.
It makes sense. Okay. You know, it's, you know, I've always thought that if I sit across this table from you, you and I have no issue. Right?
I mean,
it's history. It's the past. It's, you know, different situations, kind of bagging it all together. You know, it's... You know, you could talk to one person of color and they could be like, I don't get any of this.
Right.
And you could talk to another person of color and be like, I totally get this. And you could talk to a guy like me who's like, I don't see what the big deal is.
Right.
But then I have this moment where I've been paying attention because I want to be part of a solution.
Okay.
I don't want to continue to be part of a problem. Okay. But it's hard for me because I haven't felt like I've been a problem. So I've had to take a harder look into it. And this revelation that we've kind of gone through today has helped me understand that. Not sure what I could do about it. I don't know what I can do because it sounds like it's a lot of authoritative, like cops and that kind of shit. And I don't know how to fix that.
So what you did, I feel, as a white person,
I'm a person of color.
As a non-person of color.
I'm a color.
What
non-person of color?
What you did when you came up to Josh Shen and I, it was you met us on the real level of how we should meet and interact with people.
I forgot about that.
Right? Like that was, so that was, and right, we get to look at it and be
what'd
like,
you think when I walked up?
It was just cool, man. We were just like, you know, looking at being here and looking right in January. It's kind of like a mind F because...
You're talking, putting the mic up.
It was a mind F because when you and I, when I saw you, the some of the things that are in my head right now weren't there, you know? I was just like, oh my gosh, this cool person, he's talking to us, that's
real
it.
Real quick, the story was, I was getting lunch at
Panera
mm-hmm. and you and your son were over there working heads in your laptops, and I walk up and I go... What the fuck are you guys up to? Looks like you're making music over here.
Right.
And you're like, we are.
Right, right.
And I go, I do a podcast. You want to come on and chat about it? I didn't care. I didn't even.
So you have done it. I feel like you are there. I don't know if you're being hard on yourself, but you are.
I just want to be better.
But you're already there. I think to approach someone like.
You guys are probably
like,
the only two interesting people in there.
To approach me, right, I feel like I'm different. I'm a different looking person, you know? So for you to come up to me and talk to me, I would say that says something. Yeah. Whereas a lot of people would fear me, maybe. Not fear me, but just...
Okay, I know, exactly. Like, I'm not going to talk to that guy.
Exactly. You're like, but that says something about you, bro. Like, right? So real fast. With the journey that you've taken, you've interacted with... all races, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So that's why you were better off for that. And I think a part of the solution is that, you know, it's not necessarily going to the service, but I think that we should have some sort of mandatory gatherings, or maybe it doesn't have to be mandatory, but gatherings so that we can connect, where like huge block parties, huge gatherings so that we can see that, like, yeah, oh, Ray Ray likes to get messed up, and so does Tommy, and like, oh, they like the same beer or whatever. It's like if we can meet on that level and have those types of connections, will grow.
Someone told me once, they said, do you want to live the life of the guy that stands on the wall, or do you want to live with the life of the guy that goes out and dances?
Right.
Because the guy that goes out and dances has a lot of fun.
He has fun.
And all the people along the wall go, fuck, I wish I danced.
I wish I was like him.
And I made that choice one day. I said, I want to dance.
Right.
I'm not great at it.
Nice.
But I'm not missing out on anything.
Nice.
And that's me approaching you and saying, I don't know if this is cool, but I like what you guys are up to.
Right.
And I want to
be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my life.
And yeah, I feel like you showed connection reaching out to Josh Shen and I. And so I would say that you're good, bro.
Thank you.
You're good.
Appreciate it. I love you.
Love you too, Bridget.
I got to go to work.
Okay.
Let's go trim your beard.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Nice one.
See you, bud.
Cheers.
Bye.